That's the music of Ennio Morricone, Cinema Paradiso, John Williams on the guitar there, and Itzhak Perlman on the violin. And with that sound, we're just instantly transplanted into the magical world of cinema. Joining me now on our show is Jason Gorber, Director of Film Programming at the Blue Mountain Film and Media Festival. A familiar voice to many as CBC Radio's Metro Morning film correspondent and a leading Canadian critic. He's helping shape the fifth edition of this growing festival, and bringing together films from around the world and right here in South Georgian Bay. Welcome, Jason.
Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, it's nice to be led in by Morricone and the other John Williams.
Right, the Australian one. Right, great to have you. Well, tell me, I'm so excited. My location is Collingwood, and I was there last year just laughing. I mean, cracking out of my chair when Racewalkers, the premiere night, played that wonderful Canadian film. Tell me a little bit about this year. What has changed? What has matured since all the way back to year one?
Well, so this is my second year doing this. It's very exciting. It's the fifth year of the festival, and I, along with my associate programmers, have put together, I think, a really terrific slate this year. The equivalent of the Racewalkers screening, we're doing an opening night spotlight of Dancing on the Elephant. It's another Canadian film, but this one we're actually bringing in the legendary Sheila McCarthy to attend that. And actually, on the Saturday night, if you want really rambunctious, we're actually showing an incredible documentary called You Had to Be There, How the Toronto Godspell Ignited a Comedy Revolution. We are bringing in Jane Eastwood, who has been in everything for decades.
Legend.
She is one of those legendary performers, but one way that she really got a big part of her start was being part of this cast, along with the likes of Martin Short, Andrea Martin, etc. It was this group of individuals that did the cast of Godspell in Toronto, and then went on to found the basis of Saturday Night Live, of SCTV, etc., etc., etc. It's a really wonderful film.
Tell me a little bit about this very strong line this year: mountain culture meets the silver screen. What does that mean in programming terms?
Well, I mean, we have a lot of elements of that deal with outdoor adventure. We're showing a film called The Art of Adventure. We have an incredible film called A Life Illuminated, tracking the life of this pioneering explorer of the deep ocean. It's not quite the same as Georgian Bay, but, you know, we're going to work with it. And we have a lot of, we're actually showcasing a number of local talent this year. Bruce Peninsula is a film very much that we're looking forward to celebrating. And another documentary, Northman Way, a lacrosse story, which is from a bunch of individuals talking about how Orangeville is sort of the center of the lacrosse universe. So many, many titles, but also films from around the world, many languages, many cultures, all colliding all here to actually craft something that works for fans of anything. We have crime thrillers. We have deep documentaries. We have incredible music documentaries. Look, we have one celebrating Gordon Lightfoot that we'll be playing outdoors. We're having another, screening Princess Bride outdoors as a free screening to celebrate the life and career of Rob Reiner. So there's so many titles here that will work with whatever your taste is. We have something, I think, that'll fit.
Well, you mentioned the Bruce Peninsula, and as I'm looking through the listings, I'm seeing all those wonderful Canadian flags all over through your curation here, and many of these are world premieres as well. So is this becoming a platform for local premieres while supporting Ontario and regional filmmakers?
Absolutely. That's something that we're very much committed to. But to be clear, so many other elements, like, we'll focus on something Canadian just because it's Canadian. We're focusing on the excellence of cinema. And to be able to celebrate excellent cinema that is Canadian, then we're getting sort of two for the price of one, as it were.
Yeah. Well, I see a strong Canadian presence also with these celebrities you're bringing for some live Q&A with cast and creators, including, you mentioned, Sheila McCarthy, Jane Eastwood attending. How important do you find that live connection is for audiences out here?
Not only do I find the live connection incredibly important, we're also doing virtual Q&As with those that can't actually attend, but we're still getting unique conversations in and around these. But we treat, and just on a fundamental point, is I want to treat every single film as an event. you are gifting us with your presence as an audience member. I want everything to feel special, to be engaged, to be part of the conversation. Myself and my programming staff are there at the beginning and the end of every film to engage in these conversations, to continue the discussion after the film is done. So the live in-person conversations we're going to have with a number of films is incredibly important, and that's a unique thing that you can take place in our event. But equally, these additional Q&As, but even these wonderful moments that we have in the lobby, just really makes it something special. Something that about bringing people together while watching a film is something that I'm incredibly excited to be able to participate with.
A wonderful balance between your international titles, Canadian work, genres. You mentioned some of them. Tell me a little bit about the school screening program. Why is that so important to invest in youth audiences today?
Every year we do a school screening. This year it's going to be on the Friday morning. We're showing Space Cadet, which is, again, a Canadian film, animated film, mostly dialogue-free. And it gives an opportunity for students that, you know, screen time is one of the things that I guess young people are certainly growing up with. But the ability to actually screen these elements on a big screen together, but also to engage in their understanding of what it is. One of the reasons that I picked this film and last year's film, which was the Oscar winner, Flow, is to showcase how cinema can tell stories without the need of spelling it out in dialogue. How they can watch films that are ostensibly the equivalent of silent cinema that can use moments of character, moments of music, and all those elements to actually encourage them to feel all these emotional feels, all these intellectual moments.
Very great food for thought there. So 33 films, 16 countries. You're curating at that scale, keeping a clear identity. Tell me what makes the Blue Mountain Film Festival distinct from larger, say, urban festivals.
Well, one of the things that we actually have here is an incredible community of people, both who live in the area, but also come up to the area and actually make this festival something truly special. That's on a fundamental basis what it is for me, is that we are showcasing the cinema of the world for a dedicated local audience, but also audiences that are coming to join us in this beautiful region.
It is a beautiful region set on the Niagara Escarpment, stunning views, like a Swiss Alpine village. And now with the Blue Mountain Film Festival in full swing, it just adds another layer to the experience. Tell me, since you treat every screening like an event, are there any personal highlights, maybe two or three you could share with us, maybe something unexpected you threw in or under the radar?
I don't know how under the radar it is, but Tuner, which is a film by Daniel Roer. Daniel Roer won an Oscar for his film Navalny, and that actually played the festival, and then he came back the next year and actually did a Q&A.
Ah, Tuner. That's about the piano tuner.
Exactly. It's about a piano tuner working under Dustin Hoffman, who gets cajoled into being a safecracker because he has this perfect hearing. He's actually cajoled into doing that. It's an amazing crime thriller, but it has all this documentary and musical precision from somebody that did a Robbie Robertson doc and the Navalny doc. I love when documentarians bring their nonfiction game into fiction films. That's one that's absolutely a highlight. I will give you another one, Cookie Queens, an incredible documentary. We actually had the producers, Oscar-nominated Truffle Hunters. Last year, they were there with Gaucho Gaucho. They produced this film about four Girl Scouts selling cookies. It is astonishing. It's a competition film, but you're following these four girls as they sell cookies in the region. It is tremendous.
Wow. I can see that quickly becoming an audience favorite. Well, Jason, we are so grateful to have your expertise up here and truly grateful for you and the team of volunteers, your staff, board, everyone putting this together each year right here in our area. The Blue Mountain Film and Media Festival. I've been speaking with Jason Gorber, Director of Film Programming at this series. You can get all the details at bluemtnfilmfest.ca. Blue Mountain Film Fest. All right. Any closing thoughts, Jason, before I let you go?
Just a reiteration. This festival could not happen without the incredible staff, but more importantly, the volunteers that come showcase. So an absolute shout out to any of the volunteers that are listening. Thank you so much for everything you do. Every festival requires that. But also a big shout out to the audiences that have supported this festival for these 5 years and many years to come. We hope to see you at this year's festival.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jason. Good luck to you and your team out there. We're going to be following.
We'll see you at the movies.